Continue to talk about the series called Away in a Manger. We will talk about the life of Joseph and how, what he went through. And actually, this message is entitled How to Deal with Disappointments. And we will learn that we don't have to deal, we don't have to handle our disappointments. We hand it over to God. So let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for this afternoon, giving us the chance to be here. And it's by your grace, Lord, we just want to ask for grace that you open our hearts and minds, you speak to us in a personal way. And Holy Spirit, help us to be receptive, and the best part is help us to apply all the things that we will learn, that you might be glorified in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Trust everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let me share to you a true story. I have a friend, a very close friend of mine. You know, he's a great guy. He has a great leadership skills. You know, people look up to him. And he's a girlfriend. So they have been together for more than 8 years already. Imagine that long. So they were so in love with each other. You know, they do a lot of things together. And it came to a point that they decided to get married. And both of the families agreed to their plan. So they started to prepare for their wedding. The guy was so in love with the girl, wonderful woman, yet he invested everything for the wedding, for her. So everything was going smoothly according to their plan, and, you know, they were about to get married. So until one thing happened. The woman told the guy, I want to break up. You know, the woman did not reply to his texts anymore, did not answer his calls. You know, the guy was so crazy, he didn't know what he did wrong, right? He tried to go after her, you know, he asked help from his friends, but they couldn't help him either. You know, until the woman decided to talk to him in person for the last time, and then she told the guy, you're a great guy, but you deserve better than me. And then the guy didn't understand. You know, he had questions, but the woman had to go already. So the guy tried to figure out what seems to be the problem. He couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't eat. He couldn't do the things he normally does. Right? Because the woman meant the world to him. She is his everything. So one day, he found out that the woman was pregnant. His world collapsed, right? He broke down and cried. He couldn't believe the news. So he gave her the benefit of a doubt, that, you know, and give her a chance to explain herself, but it was too late. And he was so crushed, all he could do was to cry in bed all night long. He felt betrayed. He didn't understand his situation. You know, he couldn't believe that it happened to him. You know what? Joseph somewhat has the same situation as this guy. Joseph maybe faced the greatest disappointment in his life. And Joseph couldn't believe it happened to him as well. Joseph felt betrayed. No, he thought that he lost everything. So right now, let's open our Bibles. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. Let's stand up as we read the scriptures in reverence to God's word. Let's read. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break up the engagement quietly. As he continued this, I considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then And he will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Please take your seats. So this afternoon, we will talk about the context first, about the scriptures we just read. And I need you to be extra attentive on this, because I know you just had your lunch and you want to be on your comfortable bed rather than on the chair. But God has brought us here, and he wants to tell us something. And if you have your Bibles with you right now, I won't flash it on screen. You can check that in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 15, we see that Matthew links Jesus to Abraham. Right? However, in verse 16, it says there, we read an interesting interesting part about Joseph. It says, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary gave birth to Jesus. He's called the Messiah. So notice it did not say that Joseph was the father of Jesus. Instead, it says, Joseph, the husband of Mary, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Why? Remember again, Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. Right? We already learned this from the sermon 2 Sundays ago when Danny explained to us how Mary, the mother of Jesus, became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it was the perspective of Mary. Now, we will talk about Joseph. So Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, but he was considered as the father of Jesus from a human legal standpoint. So even though Joseph had no physical or biological part in the birth of Jesus Christ, he had a huge role to play as it relates to, you know, protecting Mary, and providing for the family, and also protecting Jesus Christ over the course of his early few years. So Joseph is not the father of the biological father of Jesus, but he's the earthly father of Jesus. So even Bible scholars tell us that Joseph was probably an older man relative to the age of Mary, because we don't hear anything about him during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, which would lead us to think that he had passed away by that time. So, okay, so we got that context already of the scriptures. So, Joseph came from the line of Abraham and became an earthly father of Jesus. So right now, as we study the life of Joseph, I'd like us to learn how Joseph deals with disappointment, maybe the greatest disappointment in his life. So now let's jump to the verses that we just read earlier. Study right through the verse 18. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. So Matthew didn't really tell us about the birth of Jesus. But the book of Luke tells us about that. 2 Sundays ago, Danny again, fellow intern, preached the Luke, and she was able to show us the details of the birth of Jesus and the perspective of Mary. So we continue to read. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. So Joseph and Mary were about to get married. So the setting is Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. There was an engagement going on. So they were both excited, you know, they would experience the best day of their lives. You know. So I want you to try to be in the shoes of Joseph right now. Just for me to know, can I see the hands of the men who are already married? All right, guys, come on. All right, amen. For the men who are already married, I want you to remember, you know, the day when you were about to marry the love of your life. You know, when you were young and about to get married, the love of your life. I need you to imagine that right now. And then hold that thought. Hold that thought. And for the single guys that wants to get married, Don't need to raise your hands. I know you don't want to admit. But think about this. For all the guys here, whether you're married or not, I want you to imagine, you know, that you're in the process of being married, right? About to be married with the love of your life. So the scenario is this: you want to totally marry her, you know, you want to spend the rest of your life with her, right? You want to share your deepest secrets, your deepest pains, your deepest disappointments. And then she comes one day and tells you, "Buntis ko. I'm pregnant. And the Holy Spirit impregnated me." Maybe on a good day, you would give her the benefit of a doubt on a good day. But, you know, very likely you would feel extreme heartbreak. You know, extreme pain. Extreme disappointment. Because as the verse continues, it says, she was still virgin. She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Actually, Joseph didn't receive the memo. Joseph didn't have an idea about what's going on. So if I were him, my response to Mary would be like, "What? You want me to believe that you didn't have any hanky-panky going on? Right? That you just had... You've become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, seriously, you want me to believe that? Enough of this, Mary. Just tell me who the guy is." Right? So I believe Joseph was really devastated at this point. But right now, there's two things about disappointments that we need to recognize as Christians. Two things are, it will happen. And it will hurt. You know, disappointment will happen. You know, disappointment in life will happen because disappointments are our unmet expectations. So it's when our reality, our current reality, doesn't match our expectations. Right? Disappointment is when we expect things to happen, but not the way we want it. There are a lot of things that disappoints us every day. In fact, disappointment is part of our lives. You know, we will always get disappointed in, even in small things. You know, when you go to the restaurant and then the food doesn't taste good the way you expected, or you check in a hotel but the room is not as good as you imagined. Or you watch a movie, and then the movie is not that good as you thought. You go home, expect some food that is left for you, but there's nothing. I mean, we experience disappointments every day, right? And when our expectations do not meet, we get affected emotionally. Yeah? That's why disappointment will hurt. And for a lot of us here today, we might be experiencing disappointments right now. Maybe you make rash decisions based on your emotions and that led to broken relationships, right? Or maybe you keep on applying for a job and nobody wants to hire you. Or maybe you've been working so hard, but someone else is getting promoted. And for the married women, maybe you're expecting a baby, but you're experiencing miscarriage. Or maybe you can't get pregnant at all. Or maybe you're disappointed with yourself. You know, you give up easily. You know, you regret the things that you've done. Or maybe you're just disappointed with God. You've been praying so hard for a long time and you haven't. There's no answer yet. I mean, disappointment will hurt us. And we need to deal with it properly. As Christians, there are two ways in this situation. Either we handle it ourselves or we hand it over to God. Now, how can we deal with our disappointments? How can we respond to our situation? How can we hand over our disappointments to God? We can learn three things from Joseph. You know, the first way of Joseph hands his disappointment over to God is to do the right thing. To do the right thing. Because the verse says, Joseph was a righteous man. It says, did not want to disgrace her publicly. Just was a righteous man. So Joseph had a disappointing situation, but he wanted to do the right thing. So that's it. He did the right thing. That's how easy it is. I hope that's how easy as it sounds, but it's not. Because sometimes we have unhealthy ways of expressing our disappointments, right? We want the whole world to know what we are feeling right now. Some people are like this. You know, you will know because you can see it their Facebook, right? Letting everyone know that you're disappointed in your situation. And a lot of Christians, we go to Facebook rather than the Father to express our disappointments, right? And it's not God's best for us to do. But the cry really of our hearts at this moment is like, I want everyone to know that I am in pain. I want everyone to know that, to hear me out. You know, if we don't handle our disappointments healthily, then we might handle it selfishly. So before we go to Facebook, make sure to go to the Father. Or maybe you don't post it on Facebook, or you don't have Facebook at all. Yeah. Or maybe your disappointment is everyone to see. You wear it on your face. Right? We become crabby Christians like, the joy of the Lord is my strength, I guess. Yeah, but if we have Jesus in our hearts, if we have hope in Him, if we have trust in the Lord, then tell it in your face. You know, I'm no better than you guys. I also struggle with this. But I study this topic. God has personally taught me how to apply it in my life. And I learned that we don't handle our disappointments. We handed it over to God. Sometimes we just don't express our disappointments. We suppress our disappointments. And sometimes we also, as Christians, we say, I'm a Christian. I mean, nothing bothers me because I'm a Christian. You know? And we think that it's unspiritual for us to experience disappointments. And the unspiritual thing is not experiencing disappointments, but not dealing with our disappointments. It's denying our disappointments. There's nothing spiritual when we pretend that everything is going right, everything is fine, when it's not. Jesus didn't die for us to walk through life as if we're in the clouds, but to go through trials and still hope in Him, right? If you observe, Joseph didn't do that. He wanted to do the right thing. For Joseph, doing the right thing means doing what is accordance to the law back in the day. Righteous meant that he wanted to do the right thing in the eyes of God. So Joseph is religious. You know, he always wants to do the right thing. The word righteous is used here. It's the same word that is used in Romans 3:10. It says, no one is righteous, not even one. So, if no one is righteous, but Joseph is righteous, does it contradict itself? That's not the case. But if you read the next chapter, Romans 4, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. However, to the one who does not work but trusts in God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Right? Joseph became righteous not because of what he has done, but because of his faith in God that made him righteous. Amen? And verse 20 even says, as he considered this, as he considered this. This means that he gave careful thought about it. You know, he thought about the consequences, the response to his situation. And he thought that it was not a small thing. So what could Joseph do? Again, 2 Sundays ago, Danny shared to us about betrothal. Being betrothed, it's like getting married. The thing is, Joseph and Mary were considered as husband and wife already. But they were just waiting for a year for their actual wedding day. And the only way to break this betrothal period is through divorce. So Joseph wants to do the right thing, and Joseph wants to follow the requirements of the law. So that's what's going on in his mind. So if you look at the book of Deuteronomy, specifically in chapter 2, if a man finds out that the woman that he's about to get married to is not a virgin, she could be stoned to death, right? She could be killed. So Joseph had two options in his day. One is to expose Mary publicly. The second one is to divorce her quietly. So this is what happens. If Joseph would expose Mary publicly, he would do it this way. He would charge her openly in public court for adultery. You know, she would be shamed, brought to trial, and then convict her in front of everyone, and then stone her to death. So Mary could have been killed if Joseph wants to get even with her. But Joseph showed us a different response. Instead of judging her and bringing her to court, the response he showed was like, the goal of my life is not to get even, but to do the right thing. That God might be glorified. So that's amazing response coming from a victim, right? So when we are hurt, you know, when we are disappointed, most of the time, what we want to do is to get even, to ease the pain, right? But it doesn't always solve the problem. It even gets worse. But Joseph was a righteous man, says in the verse, and is more concerned about how he could rightfully respond in the way that glorifies God. So he was able to do it because Joseph didn't handle his disappointment. He handed over to God. So the first option was bring her to court, and the second option was a more quiet way. To Mary and Joseph can get together with 2 or 3 witnesses and you know, write out a private bill of divorcement. So in this case, there would be no judicial procedure, no public knowledge, and nobody need to know what's going on, right? So this second option was what Joseph agreed to do. It says in the verse, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. So Joseph didn't want to make a scandal out of it. Because again, the goal of Joseph isn't to get even, but to do the right thing. Because Joseph didn't handle his disappointments, he handed over to God. Joseph chose us to do the right thing. And the second way Joseph hands it over to God is to trust in his direction. If you want to see the verse, it says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So what we see now is Joseph doesn't act impulsively with this disappointment. In fact, he acted with integrity. Why? Because we can see in our text that God spoke to him in a dream. Joseph received the direction from the Lord in a dream, right? So it's important when we handle our disappointments to God, when we hand over our disappointments to God, we know what his word says. So that we can find the direction, because God has a purpose in our disappointments. God has a purpose in our disappointments. How can we get practical direction from the Lord? How can we hear from the Lord? You know, how can we listen to Him when we are disappointed? A simple way to answer that is through the Bible, through the Scriptures, through God's Word. I mean, that's the most practical way to access God's Word, and when we need God's direction when we are disappointed, because that's where God speaks to us. If you can remember the verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right." You know, the Bible is God-breathed. The Bible is God's instructions for us, right? The Bible is our source when we need God's direction from a disappointing situation. So if you want a direction in your life, if you want a direction from your disappointment, if you want for God to speak to you, then if you want to know God's purpose when you're disappointed, you can access it through the Bible directly. You know, we can talk all day about how important God's Word is in our lives. I just want to share to you a recent personal testimony that I witnessed, I mean, from my wife, who received direction from God when she faced a disappointing situation. I mean, as I shared to you, my wife is a doctor, and she specifically is a pediatric resident in Soto. And by the way, I want to congratulate my wife, for she just graduated on Friday. I mean, yeah, praise God. It's all possible because of the grace and faithfulness of God. You know, I mean, God has been faithful to her and sustained her throughout the course of her practice. And I just want to give God the praise for that. Thank you, Lord. What she went through actually was not easy, but God was faithful to sustain her. So knowing all these good things, she also received a disappointing situation from her superiors. I hope they're not here. So my wife recently experienced a disappointment in her workplace. You know, she expected that she would finish her training this year, but she and her batchmates were given extensions. You know, they were given extensions for even more than a month. Rules were changed without prior notice, right? She felt betrayed, and when all she did was like to work hard and complete the tasks that were given to her, she worked diligently, and she did not blame or question God. But there was a feeling and hatred and rebellion in her heart, and she wants to, you know, get even and fight back, but she knew that it was not the right thing to do. You know, she prayed. She sought the Lord for direction, you know. And I realized that, I mean, she read the Bible. And she came across to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And she wondered why God led her to Samuel, to the calling of Samuel. So she continued to read, and then she reached to the part when God revealed to Samuel that the punishment of Eli to give the house, I mean, he will give it to the house of Eli. And then Eli's response in verse 18, it says, it caught her attention. It says, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." You know, Eli, instead of questioning God and rebel, Eli was humble enough to accept the punishment, right? My wife realized that maybe God wants to teach her something in this season, right? She needs to trust God and to submit to Him, because God has a purpose in her disappointment as well. Not just for her, but for every one of us. So she looked at how God is working in her life. She did not handle her disappointments. She handed it over to God. That's why it's very important for us to seek God's Word when we are disappointed, right? Because this is the time that God gives us His direction and His purpose for our disappointment. Just like Joseph, although he received God's direction through a dream, but he honored it, right? Joseph acknowledged God's direction and was willing to obey him. And on the other hand, God also loves to give us direction, his direction. You know, God loves his children to come to him and ask for his direction. If you remember, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What an amazing God. God loves to give us his direction when we are disappointed. Why? Because God wants to show us his purpose in our disappointment. Just like Joseph, he was disappointed, but his disappointment was necessary. It was important to fulfill God's purpose in giving us Jesus here on earth. Right? So that's why we need to trust God's direction as we hand over our disappointments to him. So now we already see how Joseph dealt his disappointments. Like, he did the right thing. He was doing the right thing. He trusted in God's direction. And the last point is respond in obedience. Respond in obedience. Because the verse 24, it says, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. I mean, when you read those verses, it seems like it's very easy for Joseph to do, right? When you read those verses, it's like he did it right away. It seems like Joseph followed the Lord's command right away. No questions asked. Of course, that's true. But on the other hand, it was difficult for him as well. You know, can you imagine during the wedding day, you know, knowing that his wife is pregnant, you know, the child was not his. Can you imagine Joseph during the 9 months with Mary and helping her as she was carrying the baby, you know, being the father, being the husband to her, knowing that the child was not his? Can you imagine Mary who bore the child? And then they bring the baby to the temple, and everybody was saying, look how cute, it's a baby. But Joseph knew that the child was not his. Although it's not written in the scriptures, but the reality is, I don't think it was easy for Joseph. For all the men here, can you relate? You know, I'm sure you've heard of stories of men who married someone new that the child was not his. Pretty sure it was not easy. I also have a friend, personal friend, experiencing that. And I have you ever had that feeling that you're doing it for the Lord, but inside it feels so difficult, it's so heavy, it makes you want to quit. You know, you want to go back the easier way. Right? Joseph's response in obedience was not an easy thing to do. But God has been gracious to Joseph, you know, for him to obey. It would not have been easy. But Joseph did not handle his disappointment alone. He handed it over to God. So in our application as Christians, you know, you want to do the right thing. You already sought the Lord for direction. As you trust His word, you know, and you already know what you're going to do. Even in our response to God, it's easy for us to say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I want to trust and obey you. I'm handing this situation to you. But it's easy for us to say that. But can you really say, Lord, it's yours? When God asked to give up our unhealthy relationship, can we respond in obedience and say, Lord, it's yours. I'm handing this over to you. When God asks you to give up your vices, can we respond in obedience? Lord, it's yours. I'm handing this over to you. When God asks you to give up your pornography, can we say that, Lord, it's yours. I'm giving this over to you. You know, when God tells us to forgive, not to get even, can we say that, Lord, it's yours. I'm handing the situation to you. So obedience is not always that easy. But when we learn to hand it over to God, Paul says it in Philippians 2:13, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desires, the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. You know, we may have struggles in obeying God, but it's Him who empowers us. It's Him who works in us to do, to obey, and to do the things He wants us to do. Obedience is not an easy thing for us to do. But God is gracious to fulfill that He works for us. He wants for us to do. So God provides for us, protects us, right? God guides us to fulfill His purpose. So Joseph shows us three things that how to hand over our disappointments to God. One is to do the right thing, trust in God's direction, respond in obedience. So actually Joseph expected to marry a beautiful virgin woman, but she was already pregnant. She ended up getting pregnant. If Joseph responded a different way, if he walked away as soon as he found out that Mary was pregnant, we wouldn't learn from him right now. But maybe we see our disappointments as curse, you know, but God meant it for His purpose. So our disappointments are necessary to teach us, you know, to mold us, to fulfill the purpose of God, that He might be glorified in our lives. So disappointment are part of our lives. But Joseph shows us that we don't have to handle our disappointments. We hand it over to God. So right now, is there something that is disappointing you? Don't handle it. Hand it over to God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You for speaking to us right now, teaching us that we don't have to handle our disappointments. It's You, Lord, who guides us, who molds us, Lord. And You have plans in our lives. And our disappointments are necessary. Help us, Lord, to do the right thing. Make that decision to do the right thing and, you know, to trust in Your direction. And also to respond in obedience. Lord, we want to give You the glory. Help us to apply it in our daily lives. I want to thank You for Your word today. Give You glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Let us all rise for our final song.
To You only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Oh, great you are.
Great are you, Lord. Let your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
All together sing, all the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you.
Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank our interns, Danny, Brian, Sterje, and Jai, who's not here. It was a good run. I hope you were blessed with our series. And I want to thank them because they did give a lot of effort for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace in our lives. We praise you, O God, because you are indeed faithful. We thank you for teaching us through this series of lessons from the Christmas stories. We praise you, God, because ultimately, you are the one who is glorified. You are the one who deserves the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this afternoon that you have brought us here. Thank you for the time of worship through songs. Thank you for the time of worship through your word. Thank you for encouraging us and reminding us, Lord, that we do not need to handle our disappointments, but we hand it over to you. Thank you, Lord. And thank you as well for the opportunity to worship you through our grace gifts, our offerings, and our tithes. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. God bless. Happy New Year.